I'd like to say something that I've prepared tonight.
All right, Alan.
Hello, 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 and thank you for joining me for season 10 of the Raise Your Game Show. I'm your host, Alan Stein Jr. This season, I recruit several friends and colleagues to discuss their primary core values, how they live them daily, and why they play such an important role in their day-to-day decision-making. Joining me today is someone I was introduced to by a mutual friend recently. After exchanging a few emails, we hopped on an exploratory call, and I was immediately blown away by his passion and perspective. Ben Rogers is the founder of TBL Coaching LLC, a performance coaching business that encourages ironclad attitudes, disciplined habits, and an intense focus on preparation. Ben's coaching is rooted in action and accountability to help clients achieve maximum performance in whatever game they play in sports or business. Ben is also the host of The Bottom Line Podcast, which I highly recommend you check out. Simply search The Bottom Line with Ben Rogers in iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. In this series, Ben and I will discuss his three primary core values of attitude, discipline, and preparation. In today's episode, we will be focusing on preparation.
So Ben, in the third and final episode to this series, we're going to look at your third core value. We've talked about attitude. We've talked about discipline. Now let's talk about preparation. And if you can kind of unpack why you chose that as one of your core values, what preparation actually means to you, how you interpret it, that's how we'll get our dialogue going, my friend.
I don't know if you ever read or listened to Andy Andrews speak. Andy Andrews is awesome. I actually heard him for the first time in a real estate seminar, but he's worked with in college football in the SEC before. But he says that preparation is competing when no one else even knows there's a game going on. So
oh, wow.
he references such a great story. He references Michael Jordan, right? And so everybody who loves sports, you should like and respect Michael Jordan. I would think I was born in 1990, so I'm a diehard Michael Jordan guy. Right? So anyway, that being said, you ever watch Michael Jordan like on the sidelines when his teammates shooting free throws? He's always sitting there, kind of on his hands and knees like this, right? Yep. And he's talking to the ref, just kind of talking to the ref, and you don't really know what he's saying. The idea is that the game is technically stopped at that time. But you ever listen to any sound bites, what he's doing is building a relationship with the referee. He's asking him how his kids are doing, how his wife's doing, all those types of things. So it's no coincidence that MJ typically seemed to get a lot of good calls in his favor, right? It's kind of a funny story to say that not everyone knows there's a game going on right here. So we're going to compete when not everyone knows what's going on. To me, that is preparation at its core, at its root. If I can be more prepared than you, we haven't even got to the game yet, but I'm competing right now and you don't even know it. That to me is preparation and why it's so important. And I think that, you know, with my first core value and attitude, learning that mostly from my mother, and then discipline from my high school football coaches, and then preparations definitely from my father, who owns and runs more small businesses than I can even name. His entire day is preparation, right? If you're prepared, the game really doesn't matter. You've won or lost way before. And that might sound cliche once again, but you're either going to prepare or you're not. And this is how we came up with the name of the company in the first place, is The Bottom Line, because I think the bottom line to all things successful is preparation, right? And so what we like to say is the bottom line is that practice is more important than the game. It's a simple, it might not be as fun, but that's okay. The game is going to be more fun if you're prepared. And to me, preparation, it's like, I think it was Peyton Manning who said it. Peyton Manning said that pressure is something you feel when you don't know what the hell is going on, right? I wrote about this in my email on my Thursday email. I think it was last Thursday or Thursday before. There's a really cool book by Harvey Pinnock. It's called The Little Red Book. He's a golf teacher from like the 60s, 70s, whatever. And he says that one of the worst pieces of advice you can give a golfer is saying, don't relax, right? Or I'm sorry, when he says relax, he goes, don't relax, be at ease, right? Because when somebody tells you to relax, it's kind of infuriating, kind of makes you tense. It jacks you up in a bad way, but being at ease is being prepared, right? That's why guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady or Tiger Woods or whoever, they don't really feel pressure. They know exactly what's going to happen. They're at ease. That's what preparation is all about.
Well, and preparation is a controllable factor. I mean, I talk all the time about there's really only two things we have 100% control over, attitude and effort. But I actually believe that a certain combination of attitude and effort is what preparation is. Right. And that preparation is a decision that one makes. And I also, I tie preparation a lot to the word respect. You know, if we go back to my playing days, you know, in sports, you know, I have a respect for my teammates. I have a respect for my coach. I certainly have a respect for myself. I respect my opponent. I respect the game at large. So I want to make sure that I'm as fully prepared as possible when I show up, because that I have all of those different respect factors. And, you know, in the sports world, I think it's crystal clear. It amazes me how many folks in the corporate and business world don't prepare with that same fervor. How many of them jump on a sales call having done minimal preparation in advance? And I'm like, what are you doing? You know,
it's all effort.
Yeah, it really is. And I don't know I don't know if we could come up with a mathematical formula. I feel like boxers have done it, where they, you know, might even have been in some of the Rocky movies where Mickey said something like, you know, for every 3-minute round, we're going to train 300 hours or something like that. It's like, man, if I'm about to jump on a 15-minute sales call with a prospect, I should probably be doing 3 to 4 times that amount of due diligence to prepare to make sure that that call goes as well as possible.
There's no doubt about it. Well, it's like, you know, if you're truly prepared, it's like your opponent gave you their own playbook.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're good. We know what to do now. It takes a while, though, to digest and to study that playbook. And that's why preparation obviously is going to take longer. But once again, the bottom line is that the practice is more important than the game. You're either going to like it or you don't. But either way, it doesn't matter. The fact remains the same. Practice is more important than the game. It's proven time and time again.
Well, and I love kind of with this trilogy theme that this is your third core value. And I'm not suggesting that you put them in any sort of order, but I kind of like the building blocks of first, you have to have an attitude that preparation is important. Then you need to exercise discipline in order to be prepared, because using your rainy day analogy from the previous episode, I don't always feel like preparing. I don't feel like preparing for every call that I'm going to have or every keynote that I'm going to give, but I take pride in being a professional. And a professional will prepare, and I will make sure that standards over feelings, I will prepare to the best of my ability, regardless of whether I feel like it or not.
For starters, I'm very, very OCD. So the reason they're in the order they are is because they're in ABC order, just in full transparency, ADP. That being said, what you said does make perfect sense. And I agree. You know, being a keynote speaker, you need to respect the profession. You need to respect the audience, the people that are paying you. But most importantly, let's go back to integrity, dude. You got to respect yourself.
Yeah.
How could you go up in front of thousands of people unprepared? That's insane. You wouldn't be able to sleep, even if they thought it was great. If you knew that you didn't prepare to the best of your ability, you're not going to be able to sleep at night.
Yeah. Oh, you're 100% right. I know that I would not be able to, but I see some pretty well-known high-paid keynote speakers that they have so much charisma and so much natural talent that they feel that they can just get on stage and wing it. And to your point, they're probably so infectious and magnetic that the audience still thought it was good, but it's not as good as they would have been had they prepared. And to me, you know, that's the yardstick at which I try to measure myself. It's not, you know, do I give a better keynote than Ben? That has nothing to do with it. It is, am I giving the best keynote that I'm capable of? And the only way that I can answer yes to that is if I've properly prepared. I've done my due diligence. I've rehearsed incessantly. I've gone through my routine so that I show up physically, mentally, and emotionally as the best version of myself so that I can bring my A game. That if I'm, you know, I have a little bit of a cold or there's something going on, I've done everything I can to mitigate that, not even consider it as an excuse, and show up, you know, for showtime or game time, ready to be myself. And it comes back to that attitude and the discipline that preparation is important. It is a non-negotiable.
If you are unprepared for something, there is no excuse whatsoever. Because that is only you. There's no external factor that prevented you from being prepared for something. That's the best part about preparation, right? You go into the game, you're free, you're flexible, you feel good, you know exactly what's going to happen. And a lot of times your most creative stuff comes out because you were so disciplined in the prep phase.
Well, you know, that's funny you said that. I know I keep bringing up quotes, and I love that you enjoy quotes and cliches as much as I do. You know, I heard one time that it's better to be prepared for an opportunity that never arises than unprepared for one that does. Right. And I remember back in my high school days, you know, I'd go into a class and the teacher would say, we're going to have a pop quiz today. And I would get kind of bent out of shape thinking, well, I'm not prepared for this. And I would blame the teacher instead of looking in the mirror and saying, it's my own fault. I should go into every class assuming there's going to be a pop quiz and making sure that I've got full command of the material. And then if there's not a pop quiz, that's fine. I still know what I'm doing. And, right. and I even took that mindset to the basketball players I'd work with and say, look, when you're driving to the basket for a layup or a dunk, you realize that the guys in the other colored jersey, their sole job is to prevent you from doing that. So why would you be surprised when they try to block your shot or even if they body you up and foul you? You should be prepared for contact every time you go to the basket and just be pleasantly surprised if no one's there. But always be prepared that someone's going to meet you at the rim and try to stop you from doing what you're trying to do. And that all comes back to preparation.
Once again, the simplicity of success. Like what you just said is not rocket science. Like, and it's amazing. It's amazing that people pay you to tell them that, right? Like, look, all you have to do is focus on the things you can control. And preparation is one of those things that is just, it really is. It's solely up to you. And that's the best part about preparation. It hinges solely on you. If something went wrong, look in the mirror. You got no other person to blame.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that I've had to learn, and I believe I mentioned to you, I'm very amicably divorced. So I split time with my children. I have a great relationship with my ex-wife. And I had to learn that I also had to prepare for when I was going to have my children, that there were times where I'd be out speaking or I'd be working on something and I'd be so consumed by what I was doing that I wouldn't give myself the space to then be fully present with my children when I pick them up. I'd be a little bit preoccupied. I'd be a little bit frazzled sometimes. So I had to learn that even with something like getting ready to have my children for the weekend, that I need to prepare for that. Now, that doesn't mean I'm studying their bio or I'm trying to, no, it just simply means that I need to prepare myself, my mindset in particular, physically, mentally, and emotionally, to be present and to be the best father that I'm capable of being. And I say that because I just want everyone to know that whether you're coming home after a tough day at work to have a family dinner, you might need to prepare for that family dinner. You might need to take a beat, to take a few breaths, you know, and say, all right, I need to get into a better mental space so that I can be there for my family. This is not just about sales calls and basketball games. This is about preparing to be your best self every single place that you show up.
Look, man, there's so many people, whether they chose to be in a leadership position or not, they are. There's dads and moms that are, they are leaders, and we need more disciplined leaders. We need more disciplined people like that. And in the end, that's, I said it earlier, our mission is to build this army of disciplined leaders who are present with and positively impact their relationships and their community. And the only way that you can be present with somebody is to be prepared for when you step into that moment in time.
For sure. One other thought on preparation, and I think we can put a big bow tie on this and would certainly love anything else that you'd like to share on the topic. I'm a very linear thinker. I love structure. I love consistency. I'm not a very creative person, and it's taken some self-awareness to have the humility to acknowledge that. So like for me, I have a pre-speaking checklist that I go through. You know, I have a and this is all part of preparation. I have a checklist for when I'm going to travel to make sure that I have everything from my belt to my dress shoes to all of the attachments I need for my laptop. I don't leave any of it to chance. If I'm going on a trip, I go through that checklist. 2 hours prior to speaking, I'm going through a checklist of the things that I need to do to show up as my best self, kind of my pregame routine, if you will. Any thoughts that you have on something practical that folks can adopt to improve their preparation in everything that they do?
Very much so. And any clients that I have that might listen to this will roll their eyes, but at the same time, I know that they're grateful for it. But in the end, systems are the driving force of consistency, right? Like you have to have, and here's a system. A pre-speaking checklist is a freaking system. Like the systems can be very complex or very simple. It doesn't matter. It's a system. And that is the driving force of being consistent. So I don't care if you are brand new. I'm working with a young adult now who is going into his senior year of college. And he is one of the community swimming teams hire me for 90 days to coach him because he's coaching their kids. They want kind of some personal professional development. It's great. No matter if it's him or it's the guy that owns a multi-million dollar company or it's a basketball coach at a Division I university, all of these things, this one consistency remains the same. Each and every single day, before you get out of that work mindset, before you take that work hat off, tomorrow must be prepared. And when I say tomorrow must be prepared, I'm not talking about like browsing through your phone or scrolling through your computer. I'm talking about you get out a pen and paper and a little notebook and you write down what time you're getting up. You write down what time you're working out. You write down what you're eating for breakfast, what time you have to leave for work. And it all starts with the morning routine. We are a massive, massive believer in a daily handwritten schedule. It is something so small and so simple, but it works for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. And another one of our non-negotiables of the coaching relationship we have with folks is a commitment to executing a disciplined and consistent morning routine. Every single day, write out your morning routine. And it's going to be the same thing every day. And yes, I know it's going to get boring. It's going to get mundane. And once again, referencing back to James Clear, the best of the best execute the boring. And that's just the way that it is. Mm-hmm. So if you feel like you're consistently running late to things, if you feel like you're consistently unprepared, you're flying by the seat of your pants, pick the time you're going to get up in the morning and beat it and write your schedule down for tomorrow every single day. That's it.
Well, I've had a chance to work for some really remarkable basketball coaches. Most recently was Mike Jones, who was the head coach at DeMatha Catholic High School, who actually just took a position as the associate head coach at Virginia Tech with their men's basketball program. And every single day would come to DeMatha for practice. There was a minute by minute practice plan. I mean, literally for 3 minutes, we're going to do this drill. For 2 minutes, we're going to do this drill. And, you know, I mean, and now he was, because he's such a good leader, he was flexible and adaptive. And there might be some times where he'd pull out the pen and make a few changes on the fly, but he never came to practice unprepared. And, you know, I'm a big believer for myself and for everyone else. You need to have some type of practice plan for your day, which is what you just described so perfectly. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to have every minute accounted for during your waking hours, but at least carve out the bookends, at least say for the first hour, here's how I'm going to spend my day with great intention and purpose. And for the last hour, here's what I'm going to do to make sure I'm fully prepared for tomorrow. And then maybe during the meat of your day, you have a little more flexibility since that tends to be more chaotic. But yeah, why would anyone go through life without some type of schedule or plan? It's just beyond me.
Yeah, it's baffling to me too. And the thing is, you find some people that have made it a long way truly being unprepared. Like, man, your natural talent or ability or skills must be like just beyond anything I've ever seen before. Can we just put a handwritten schedule to this and you'll realize how much time you actually have? Yeah. It's really that simple and it's that practical. Pen, paper, write down your schedule. You'll realize how much time you have. We can now be more prepared.
Yeah. Well, I ask this question of all high performers, whether it's sport or business, and say, look, you are a high performer. There's no question. My only question is, are you a high performer because of your habits or are you a high performer in spite of your habits? And that goes back to what we talked about earlier. Some people have so many natural gifts and talent that they've been able to get away with not doing some of these little things, but that's not a justification for it being the right way to do it. Right. Their performance would be elevated, or at least they'd be so much more efficient and effective if they'd adopt some of these principles. And you said it perfectly. I don't believe any of us is so rigid that we think everyone should be doing things the way that we do them. So if, you know, certain things that we've shared over this series of episodes are not the best fit for you as a listener, you just need to figure out, is there something from what we've shared that you can run through a filter and adopt into what you're doing? Right. It doesn't mean you have, if Ben and I choose to get up at 4 a.m. every day, doesn't mean that you have to. But can you get up at a consistent time that works best for you? That's ultimately what's most important. I think we've gotten granular with some specificities, but what's most important is we're talking big picture framework guardrails that if do these things, they'll see their performance, but equally important, their happiness, their fulfillment, and their inner peace will skyrocket.
Well, it's funny. You ask somebody or somebody's having a challenge with being late consistently, ask them next time somebody tells you that or somebody's late consistently, ask them what time they get up in the morning. I can almost guarantee you they're going to give you a range. They'll say, 6 to 6:30, 4 to 4:30. But that person that's consistent, that person that's preparing, that person's on time, they're going to tell you 4:10 a.m.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for investing your time with us. I hope we helped you raise your game. For additional ways to raise your game and raise the game of those on your team, please visit allensteinjr.com and strongerteam.com. In the do 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 in the do do.